gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray. God, you are our strength. Without you, we are weak. Protect us from the dangers from outside. Keep us clean from the evil in ourselves. Preserve us through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we have a son, Nicholas, and his wife and family, and they live in Florida on the Gulf Coast, right about the middle of the state near Tampa. Whenever Nicholas and his wife and kids go to the beach, his three kids are very small, ages 2, 4, and 5. So they want to play in the sand with him. And they say, "Play with me, play with me, Daddy." And so Nicholas has shown them how to build sand castles. They have learned to drip wet sand all over the castle to make it strong and hold together. But what inevitably happens is that one of the other children finds nothing so enjoyable as running by and knocking down the castle. Now, to Nicholas, he's okay with that because he just wants to spend time playing with his children. But when you are a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, it really hurts you. It breaks your heart when someone knocks down your beautiful masterpiece of sand dripping. So what they do is make rules. First, Daddy makes just one rule. We can't knock down the castle. Or, we will only knock down the castle when we can do it together. They make a game out of it. As they continue to play the game, the kids always, without fail, continue to add on new rules because they find something about the game they don't like. So they add another rule, and another rule, and another rule. By the time they leave the beach, Nicholas says, he is so thankful that the next time they come back to the beach, the tide will have washed away that sandcastle, and they get to start with a clean slate and none of those rules. So if you look today at the reading in Deuteronomy, Moses is talking to the Israelites about the importance of the law, the rules that God has given them, rules that will distinguish them from the nations, to demonstrate the wisdom that is really the wisdom of God. God gave the law as a gift to the nation of Israel, and they are to teach that same law to the nations. Then James talks about humanity and our relationship to the law. We are told to look deeply into the law, to be careful not to look away from it, James even calls it the perfect law of liberty. And James says to act on what we see in the law, what it shows us, and to help those who need help and live without doing wrong. So these two readings focus on the law and its goodness, the fact that it is a gift from God. But how can the law be a gift? Isn't it just a lot of rules that condemn us and make us feel bad? I know I don't like when someone tells me I am doing the wrong thing. Sometimes it can hurt. But then I need to remember they are telling me the truth in love, that God has given the law to me for my good, to help me stay connected to Him, and to live at peace with my neighbor. God's laws are good. If we think back to the Garden of Eden in the beginning, Adam and Eve had a great relationship with God. It was really the first happy hour. God would come down in the cool of the evening, and Adam and Eve got to walk with God and have conversations with God. It sounds wonderful. But then, Adam and Eve ate from the tree that God told them not to eat from. And right away, they knew in their hearts they had disobeyed God, and they hid from God. You see, their friendship with God was damaged when they did not keep that one rule that God gave them. And then, when they couldn't spend that precious time with God anymore, remember what happened next? You'd think they'd kind of band together and help each other, but that is not what happened. Adam blamed God. Eve blamed the snake. Everyone blamed someone else. It was every person for themselves. When they disobeyed the law, their friendship with God seemed to go bad, and so did their friendship with each other. So the law is not a bad thing. It is a gift from God to help us stay in relationship to God and to one another. So then back to the gospel reading. The scribes and Pharisees, just like my grandchildren, added a whole lot of laws to God's law to try to protect it. As time went on, they just kept making more and more extra rules. Only these rules never went away. They just kept piling up over the years. And they called these rules the tradition of the elders. And the scribes and Pharisees had noticed that Jesus and his disciples did not follow a hand-washing rule. The Pharisees were very serious because these man-made rules had become even more important than God's law. People weren't even allowed to ask why they had to do them. The Pharisees thought God needed some help getting people to follow God's laws, and they thought people needed some help to keep God's laws. Their rulemaking showed they didn't trust God or people to do the right thing. And they themselves forgot to spend time with God and to get to know God. And by making all these rules for people to follow, they really kept people from getting to know God too. Where did this hand-washing rule come from? It came from the command for the priest to wash his hands and feet before serving God in the tabernacle. And eventually the elders said, well, let's just say that all people should wash their hands and their food, and their dishes, and their pots, and anything that touches their food. And if you don't do that, wash your hands, and your food, and your dish, and your pots, then you were unclean, and you could not worship God in the temple. It was very much like a game I used to play called Cooties. Some of you might remember Cooties. It's a game of Cooties one person is skipped, and they have a disease called Cooties. Cooties are bad, but the person who's it runs around and tries to tag people, and when you tag them, they have cooties too. The person who's it tries to give cooties to everybody, so they'll all have cooties. It's the same with being unclean, only it was not a game, it was serious. If you were unclean and you touched someone else who was clean, they would be unclean. And that was bad because you couldn't worship. Jesus told the leaders of the Israelites, the scribes and the Pharisees, shame on you. When you focus on God's law instead of God, you begin to worship the wrong thing. God's law is not supposed to be worshipped. God's law is not a club to make people feel guilty, to hit them over the head with. God's laws are there to help people live with God and with each other. They are to help us tell the truth in love. Your job as the leaders of the people is to help people learn that God loves them and to show them how to stay friends with God, to remember, like Moses said, that God is always near them and ready to hear them. You have shown you do not trust God or God's people. You've made it harder for people to worship God and to know God loves them. But what about us? What does this old Jewish tradition have to do with us? We don't have a problem with hand washing. In fact, we think it's a good thing. Of course, it doesn't mean we're bad if we don't wash our hands. But have we ever made up rules for other people who are missing from God's family? Do we ever think people are so bad God cannot possibly love them? Do we think, maybe if they just changed a little bit, I could try to be their friend? Maybe the reason they're so bad is because they think they're not good enough to be loved. I don't know. I'm just thinking about why people do bad things. In class, I have a teacher who says evil is not really a presence. It is an absence of the goodness and the love of God. People need to know that God's love is not conditional on them or anything they do. God's love is there for all people, all of creation. God made the world, and when God finished, he looked around and said, "This is good. This is very good." We human people were made in the image of God, and even in our fallen state, we still bear God's image. While it's true that God is the very same yesterday and today and forever, the world we live in and the people we live with has changed and will continue to change. This means that the ways we get to know God and worship God and experience God will change with us, and that can be kind of scary. Technology continues to evolve. It results in multiplying the voices we can hear every day. These voices can be distracting, confusing, sometimes overwhelming, as each one tries to get our attention. How can we still hear God through all that noise? Do these messages from so many places drown out God? We can be tempted to believe we should do something flashy to get people's attention back on God. Maybe we think God's message is kind of out of date, not so relevant. If so, then we're not so far away from the Pharisees and scribes who thought God needed some help and they didn't trust God to be God. Our focus should be to spend time in the Word and in prayer, getting to know God. These practices will help us to become like a skilled fisherwoman, carefully tending her line, alert and waiting to sense one of those gentle pulls from the Spirit leading us to new service for our neighbor. We can pray others will encounter Christ and hear from him the welcome message, "I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." Amen.